meet when the danger is over. We will meet when the sad days are done. We will meet sitting closely together and be glad our tomorrow has come. We will join to give thanks and sing gladly. We will join to break bread and share wine, and the peace that we pass to each other will be more than a casual sign. So let's make with each other a promise that when all we've come through is behind, we will share what we missed and find meaning in the things that once troubled our mind. Until then, may we always discover faith and love to determine our way. That's our hope and God's will and our calling for our lives and for every new day.
Good morning to you all. So let me share with you some words from the psalmist. Psalm 119. Your decrees are wonderful, therefore my soul keeps them. The unfolding of your words gives light. It imparts understanding to the simple. With open mouth I pant because I long for your commandments. Turn to me and be gracious to me, as is your custom towards those who love your name. Keep my steps steady according to your promise, and never let iniquity have dominion over me. May your face shine upon your servant and teach me your statutes. So let's join together to sing The Lord's My Shepherd, but the Stuart Townend version.
Trust in you, my God.
So we join together to pray. Let us pray. Eternal God, ruler and shaper of time, hear the prayer we offer. For we know the limit of our lives, imaginations that cannot hold your truth, hearts that struggle to contain your grace, years that seem too brief, futures unclear and unpredictable. We confess our fear because life is not in our hands. And sometimes we fear that life is not in yours and we are in danger. We confess the sense that this world is out of control, rushing deeper into chaos. In our fearfulness, bring your reassuring truth. Remind us that all things exist within your will and purpose. Soothe us with the knowledge of your will shaping our days. Inspire us to trust that you are with us in each moment, shaping our lives into a great mosaic of your purpose. Bless us and renew us with hope. And we pray in the name of Jesus and through the power of your Holy Spirit. Amen. We say together the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. So the stories that we're going to have, the story we're going to have from the Bible is from the stories of Jesus, is a story about what the kingdom of God is like. And he says that the kingdom of God is like a seed. And he says that the kingdom of God is like a whole range of different things. And we might have our ways of thinking about it. The kingdom of God is like a spray of perfume. And the droplets go into the air and they change the way the day smells. Or the kingdom of heaven is like a small cuddly toy that looks insignificant, but for a child as they go to bed at night would mean that a night was destroyed and you had to search and search for it. And Jesus tells and uses a whole load of different things about what the kingdom of heaven is like, because no one of them describes what the kingdom of heaven is. That each one of them give us a little bit to help us to spark our imagination. And if I was to ask you now, I wonder what you would say the kingdom of heaven is like. But first, let's hear an encounter that Solomon had with God. And again, if God asked this question to you, what would you want? What would your answer be?
At Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon during the night in a dream, and God said, ask for whatever you want me to give you. Solomon answered, you have shown great kindness to your servant, my father David, because he was faithful to you and righteous and upright in heart. You have continued this great kindness to him and have given him a son to sit on his throne this very day. Now, Lord, my God, you have made your servant king in place of my father David, but I am only a little child and do not know how to carry out my duties. Your servant is here among the people you have chosen, a great people, too numerous to count or number. So give your servant a discerning heart to govern your people and to distinguish between right and wrong. For who is able to govern this great people of yours? The Lord was pleased that Solomon had asked for this. So God said to him, since you have asked for this, and not for long life or wealth for yourself, nor have asked for the death of your enemies, but for discernment in administering justice, I will do what you have asked. I will give you a wise and discerning heart, so that there will never have been anyone like you, nor will there ever be. And the next one is from Matthew 13, verses 31 to 33, and then verses 44 to 52. And it begins with the parable of the mustard seed and the yeast. He then told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and planted in his field. Though it is the smallest of all seeds, yet when it grows, it is the largest of garden plants and becomes a tree, so that the birds come and perch in its branches. He told them still another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed into about 30 kilograms of flour until it worked all through the dough. And then we move to the parables of the hidden treasure and the pearl, and also the parable of the net. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again, and then in his joy went and sold all he had and bought that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. When he found one of great value, he went away and sold everything he had and bought it. Once again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net that was let down into the lake and caught all kinds of fish. When it was full, the fishermen pulled it up onto the shore. Then they sat down and collected the good fish in baskets, but threw the bad away. This is how it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come and separate the wicked from the righteous and throw them into the blazing furnace, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Have you understood all these things? Jesus asked. Yes, they replied. He said to them, Therefore, every teacher of the law who has become a disciple in the kingdom of heaven is like the owner of a house who brings out of his storeroom new treasures as well as old. Amen.
A warm greeting to you. Could be morning, could be afternoon or evening, whatever it is. Greetings. And we hope we meet sometime, and hope you find our worship useful and chance to explore all the other stuff that there is about us and other stuff that's on offer. God bless you in this difficult time. The readings that I'm preaching from today are 1 Kings 3, verses 5 to 12, and Matthew 13, verses 31 to 42. So maybe press the pause, go and have a bit of a read, and then come back. It always starts small. Anything that is real starts small. Anything that lasts starts small. And also things that are harmful and destructive, they start small too. Bad habits, things that have to be weeded out. Solomon goes to the site at Gibeon to offer a sacrifice. The passage describes that he walks in the shadows of his father, and he's been regular in worship, and he encounters God in the night. God asks him, what does he want? So the question is, what do you want? What do you really, really want, to quote the Spice Girls? And our answer to that question says the most that there is to say about us. What is our heart's desire? And that reveals a lot about our heart. What do we want? In the night, by ourselves, what do we want? What do we dream of? What do we dream of really? What for us would be the pearl of great price that we would give up everything else for? Solomon's answer fits the biblical world, but seems a bit out of place for us in our less formal understanding of religious language. 3-point response: thanksgiving for his father David, thanksgiving for God's grace to give him the throne, and finally he makes his request. But it fits into a formality of an earlier age, however strange it might sound to us. We are used to Jesus, closeness, intimacy. Let your thoughts be known in prayer is our cry. Everything, no right, no wrong. But this story wonders about that. As a wisdom tale for us, it's a strange one. There are certain things that you can pray for in all good conscience, and there are others that are self-indulgent. The passage gives a rationale that makes it clear what sets Solomon's request apart. Because you asked for this and not. And the passage wants to instruct the reader into proper petition. The wrong answer in a petition becomes a vice. A petition in this sense is, I mean, a prayer. It becomes a vice. Improper petitions include requests for extrinsic, outside things like a longer life, wealth, a power base to harm our enemies. And hey, we've all prayed those prayers, but we know they're not wholesome. In other words, what you ask for and what you don't ask for could be equally important. And here we are back again with the small things that grow big within us. What is our heart's desire, really? I wonder if we know. And to take the time to examine ourselves, and it might be we need paper and a pen and privacy so we can make that happen. If God had asked us, not Solomon, what would we have said? But surely I can pray about anything.
Yes, but come on. We all know that we've offered prayers that are childish and others that are the outworking of our spiritual journey. Please, God, let Newcastle win something, anything. It's obviously a prayer that, one, God is not listening to, and two, it's not so much a prayer as the heartfelt plea of a foolish and deluded woman. Help me to know your will. Help me to do it. Now that's a serious prayer. Help me to know your will and help me to do it. So what are the small habits, activities, or ways of thinking that we've got into during this time and that we need to be careful about? Because they could, if we allow them to grow, cause us tremendous harm. And equally, what do we need to flower and grow within us? These parables have got many themes, but one of them is smallness that grows into something big, something with big effects. I wonder at the moment what you could think of that would illustrate that. Something that's really small, microscopic, you can't see it except under a microscope. Something that would have amazing effects on the world. Okay, yeah, you're right, the virus. So small, coming from who knows where, to change everything. I remember where I was one Sunday morning when a member of the church who'd been obviously looking at our phone came up to me and said, "Do you know they're going to make people who are over 70 stay at home?" And I was dismissive of it. And little did she and I know that actually what she said to me was an understatement. I wonder what small seed has grown to fruit in us in this time. For me, in conversation with people who are isolated, I think many have become more self-focused, and there's a lot of fear, and there's also a lot of anger. A feeling of, I am locked away and suffering, and I want things to happen like this and this. People fearful about leaving the safety of home. But one day, you will have to. I wonder how life would be transformed for all of us if our perpetual prayer, our heartfelt prayer was, help me to know and help me to do your will, O God. Rather than our obsessions with all the clutter of the day, a small habit of allowing that request to become the first thing that is on our lips. But how will we know? What will we do? Jesus says that those who are trained in the things of the kingdom will draw on their Jewish roots, their Jewish heritage, and they will know God's way in new things too. Things that God is showing to them. Something new is very important. It allows us growth and allows us development. Sit still, and all will be lost. What new things have we learned in this time? What are we going to take forward? It's not to say that all that was old should be thrown away, but there's old, valuable, and there's new too. So finally, a warning word about Solomon. He's proverbially pictured as a great, wise king. He would, however, not have won the Husband or the Father of the Year award. The minute he's dead, his son behaves in such a way that the kingdom is split. He did not train Rehoboam, his son. The interesting thing about Solomon is that somewhere he loses sight of what his heartfelt prayer was. But is it that he still knows what is right, but he now chooses not to do it? He gets distracted by all the outside stuff, the possessions, the power and all its trappings. And he's an example to us that some will start well and finish badly, which is not what any of us want. So three things. Firstly, what would we ask God? And is that the thing that we're building our lives towards? Are we answering our own prayers? Oh God, I pray that I would be fit while I sit here on the sofa eating pizza. Is not a legitimate prayer. There is effort required, a response. Oh God, help me to look after myself and to cherish myself because I am your beloved child and I will not abuse my body, but I will cherish my flesh because I know that my flesh matters to you. Secondly, what are the small things in our lives that we need to allow to grow? Equally, what are the small things that we might have allowed to grow that we need to weed out? And finally, how are we, each of us, going to discern the will of God today? And how are we going to keep that focus? Amen.
So let us pray. The small disease comes from who knows where that turns the world upside down. We pray for the sick, the bereaved, those nursing, for those involved in the administration of our healthcare. And for those faced with the political choices about the future. The small emotion that comes from who knows where that turns the world upside down. The love of parents for their children. Love for partners. The love and the effort of people for causes of justice, fighting racism, and working for the elimination of poverty, the work of your kingdom. Small, good, grow in our world, grow in us. Lord, may your peace grow in each one of us. May your justice be the foundation of our lives. We hold up for those for whom we have a heavy heart at this time. And we pray for ourselves. Lord, inspire and guide us. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So as we move now to our Holy Communion, let's listen to the choir.
Thank you.
So let us gather at this table with this bread and this wine. And people will come from the east and the west, from the north and the south, to sit at the table in the kingdom of God. Holy God, pour out your spirit on these gifts of bread and wine, and may this bread be for us as the body of Christ, and this wine as the blood of Christ. And we make our offering of our very selves, all that we have and all that we are, for the work of your kingdom. Amen. And hear the narrative of the institution of the Lord's Supper as it was recorded by the Apostle Paul. For I received from the Lord what I also handed on to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took a loaf of bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup also after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." So we take bread and we take wine, and as Jesus offered his prayer of thanks, so we pray. Let us pray. God of power, majesty, and might, we praise you for small things that remind us of your greatness. We praise you for stories of tiny mustard seeds and invisible yeast, hidden treasure and a little pearl. In the wonderful economy of your kingdom, these things are big. So make our little offering of faith grow strong and true, like the prolific bush whose branches made homes for the birds. Make our steady labour in your name transform all around us, like the energetic change that makes the dough rise to make bread. Make us eager to discover the richness of your grace, like the wealth hidden in the most unexpected places. Make us observant enough to pick out the tiny signs of your presence, even in these difficult, challenging times. You are with us, like the glow of a pearl. Make the world more beautiful than we think is possible. And be present with us, even through the ordinary food of our tables, this bread and this wine, that they would remind us of the heavenly banquet. Pour out your spirit. Transform these gifts, that the bread would be to us your body, and the wine would be to us your blood. And as we eat and drink, that we would know ourselves part of the life of your church in all its variety around the world. Blessing and honor, glory and power belong to you, O God, for now, forever. Amen. He took bread, blessed, and broke it. He took wine, poured out the body of Christ, the blood of Christ. So let us pray. Lord, we are small and easily overlooked, but in your eyes we are seeds which contain within them unlimited growth. Lord, we are like a teaspoon of dust, but in your kingdom we are yeast which brings life to the heaviest of dough. Lord, we are seeking prosperity, but when we find your treasure, we discover a joy greater than wealth. Lord, we are searching for the secret of life, but we will only discover it when we are caught in the net of your love. May this gathering remind us
not only of our smallness and separateness, but also of the transforming power of your love that reaches all over our world. A love that nothing can separate us from, that is known and experienced in the darkest of places. Thank you. Lord, we pray. Amen. So we join to sing our final hymn, Guide Me, O Thou Great Jehovah. And a prayer as we go our way. Lord, it's not up to us to sort the bad from the good, the wheat from the weeds. Rather, send us out to love everyone equally and to do everything we can for the work of your kingdom. So let's say the grace together. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit.
Be with us all, evermore.
Amen. Amen.